today on Real Radio.
Next time somebody that you don't know ignorantly, some non-Christian that you don't know takes a swing at your God, don't get upset. Just remind them, hey, you know what the Bible says? God says at an acceptable time, he's inviting you to come in with him. You want to go do that? You want to pray, friend? You want to go talk with God? Invite them. Why? Because God's inviting them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Do You Know? Part 2, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Isn't this a great series? Thanks for joining us, by the way. In these last few chapters, Isaiah goes on to describe a future time when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom here on earth. But whether we're looking at the past or the present or things yet to come, we're reminded of God's amazing love and his patience towards us and towards the nation of Israel. Now, in part 1 from Isaiah chapter 61, we learned that we need to consider the full revelation of God's word. There are times in our past that have tried to ruin us, but when we understand the full message of salvation, we'll discover that it's not really only what we know, but who we know. Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Eternal life in heaven only comes by knowing and accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So today in Isaiah chapter 61, Pastor Jack tells us that the Lord was the fulfillment of both the Old and New Testament Scripture. Jesus was sent by God to restore us, and when we choose to follow in his ways, well, we get to be a part of helping to restore others. All we really have to do is show God's love and share what we already know. And now in his lesson called What Do You Know? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're looking at a message, part 2 of a message entitled, What Do You Know? What do you know as a believer? Can you defend that? And when we look to the prophet Isaiah and what he says and what he speaks about, the fact of the matter that Isaiah, as we've been saying for a long time now, that Isaiah is known as the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because the book of Isaiah is quoted more in the Gospels than any other prophet. Jesus himself now quotes Deuteronomy, Moses, more than any other. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John quote Isaiah more. In fact, without the book of Isaiah, you wouldn't even recognize the New Testament. It's so vital, so absolutely powerful. So what do you know is the title of part 2 of our installment tonight. Just by quick way of review, you guys, verses 1 and 2, when we ask the question, what do you know? We spend a lot of time at looking at the one that you and I worship. And justifiably so. Look at verse 1, Isaiah chapter 61. And you recognize this, you know this, and I'll read it to you again in a moment, but it says there, Isaiah speaking, remember, possessed and animated by the Holy Spirit of God. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, remember this, church, if you don't, listen up. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And what happened when Jesus gave that in Luke's gospel, chapter 4? What happened? He paused right there. It had never been done before. It wasn't supposed to be done that way. Jesus is in the synagogue of Nazareth. He's reading Isaiah 61 publicly. It's the commencement of his public ministry, and he stops right there. Very dramatic. People would have just looked up, as we talked about last time, and been wondering, is there something wrong? What's he doing? And it was so awesome and obvious. He takes the scroll, which, by the way, he rolls it up, and it's highly beautifully protected. He hands it to the attendant. His job was to... That attendant's job was to take the word from the reader and put it back into this housing, this box that's in the synagogue where the scrolls of the word of God are there stored. And he does that. Isaiah tells us this, that this is one of the manifestations of the Messiah. And you guys remember in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says that, so when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And that almost makes it sound like he's going through the pages looking for chapter 61. Number one, there were no chapter markings back then. Think of that. The book of Isaiah was one huge, massive scroll with no chapter breaks. So he's reading, actually he's handed the scroll, and when he turns to where he's supposed to read, you know this, if you were here last time in our study in Isaiah, he would have picked up right where the last guy in the synagogue had left off reading, which we would call today the end of Isaiah chapter 60. But without numbers, think about this. It would have been incumbent upon the Jewish man who his, I say this affectionately, his number was up. That is, on this particular day, it fell to Jesus in his hometown synagogue, like it would have every man in that synagogue, it would have been his Sabbath. So it just so happens out of the entire year, the attendant hands the scroll to Jesus. He goes to where the next reader is to pick up reading, and it just happens to be him reading this portion of Scripture. Verse 18, Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Boom, he stops. Everybody's looking at him. He hands it back, it says. He closes it, and he hands it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, in your listening. It's absolutely awesome what's taking place. And so we challenged and we looked at that portion of scripture. We went through a long list. If you missed that study last time together, we spent an hour looking at supportive verses of exactly what in the world Jesus was doing, which is key and vital about the worship that you're involved in as to why tonight you're a Christian. Your worship should be intelligent. Your worship should be biblically based, your worship should be spiritual, but your worship, my friends, by all means, must be biblical worship. And we looked at that. And again, if you missed it, go and look at it in detail online. Let's pick it up as we keep going. Now, middle of verse 2 down to verse 9, we're looking at, what do you know about the one who restores? This chapter is now commenced down to chapter 66, the restorative verses, both to the Jew and to the nation of Israel. But look at this, verse 2, right there in the middle, it says, to proclaim the acceptable year, you know that, of the Lord. We read that last time, and that word means the delight of the Lord, the favor of the Lord, the pleasure. The acceptable year is the pleasurable year of the Lord. So Jesus is preaching that, and that is important before we go into this next part of this study, because from that time, listen, everybody, it has been, and I know this sounds kind of like devotional or a romantic to say this, but when Jesus said that it's the acceptable year of the Lord and he stops right there, that started a clock ticking, and that clock has been running theologically, Bible student, all the way through to the second that you and I are breathing right now. Know that. If you had that on a test in a theology course, you could say that the moment Jesus said that it's the acceptable year of the Lord, a mission started, and that mission sequence has continued for 2,000 years. It is a spiritual dynamic that began with Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. If you're a Christian tonight and you have shared the gospel in any way, shape, or form, you are part of that mission that started with Jesus' proclamation of this verse. I just find that incredibly biblically, spiritually romantic, that what you and I are doing right now is in genre. It's in sync with what Jesus began. Don't you think that's amazing? I think that's amazing. Oh, I'm going to go to a Bible study. You're not just going to a Bible study. You're going to an encounter. Well, you know, we go to church every Sunday. Great, but why? Don't get up and come to church on Sunday, next Sunday, and think, well, it's what we do. It's what Americans do. It's what we do. It's what we've always done. My mom did it. My grandma did it. We do it. Let's stay home. No, stay home. When you point your car towards church, it doesn't change the reality of who you are. You're a Christian. What it changes, though, is the direction that you're heading, because this is called a convocation. And it's very light in here tonight because there's a huge storm out there and people are staying home, and maybe they're viewing right now from somewhere, I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point is that you came, and we're to come with this sense of, I'm going to worship him. I'm coming together with God's people. And now look, let's be honest. You can have church. No, I take that back. You can view a sermon online or on TV. And if you have to, you have to. I get that. But just know this. Everybody needs to know this, and I'm going to get nasty letters about this. Just know this. If you're sick and you had to watch Charles Stanley, like if I'm sick, I'm going to watch Dr. David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley. I got my thing going on. If I'm sick on a Sunday, I got my whole thing going on. But let's be honest. It's not church. Though I don't go to church anymore. I have church on YouTube. It's not church. You have to interact with people for it to be church. And we have to serve one another for it to be church. And if you can't make it, if you're snowed in, or if it's rained an inch in Southern California, I know how disruptive that can be. But when we worship and when we come together, what are we expecting from God to do? Listen, and he will meet us. And what he does is that he restores. He restores. Look, we can recharge batteries these days, right? And when we gather together in a church family, we restore our spiritual batteries. There's something that happens. There's something that takes place. There's something that transpires. Not too long ago, I went to a Rams game, and it was wonderful. Some precious brother here at church gave me tickets, and it was just fantastic seats, fantastic. And it was amazing. But you know what? I was watching the game, and as soon as the play happened, which was fantastic, I wound up looking at those massive jumbotrons there at the Coliseum because I wanted to see the replay. I wanted to see what was going on. Are you with me? I saw what was going on, but I'm not on the field, but I saw what was going on. But to see it again, I saw it this way. But the truth of the matter is, the reason why I was looking all around is because I'm not on the field. I'm a spectator. Now, is it great to be a spectator? Only for so long. Only for so long. And then, you know what? You'd begin to wonder, wow, you know what? What'd it be like? That's why little boys, you notice this, little boys dress up they get their jersey on and the helmet. I remember I got a Bart Starr. Anybody remember Bart Starr? I got a Green Bay Packers number 15 football outfit when I was like 9 years old and a Bart Starr and a helmet. And I went to bed every night. I'd put my Bart Starr jersey on and I would fall asleep with my helmet on in bed. And then that gift at Christmas caused me as a little kid to want to sign up and play football. And I loved it. And I played it for years. You probably did the same thing. Dressing up only takes you so far. It only goes so far. Christianity demands, and when I say demand, I don't mean slams the fist down and makes you get involved. Christianity beckons you. It doesn't work. Christianity doesn't work unless you get involved in the restoration process of people's lives. It's an amazing thing. And it's the acceptable year of the Lord when the word of God goes out. Listen, Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 1, it says, we then, this is amazing, 2 Corinthians 6, 1. Paul says, we then as workers together with him, God, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, quote, in an acceptable time, this is an amazing word, by the way, the acceptable The word that he uses here is the time of welcoming. Oh, my dear friends, listen, everybody. It means the time of favor. It means the time of welcoming. It means that God, that there's a time that God is welcoming you to him. Please listen. That the creator of the universe, God Almighty, the eternal God, it's in him to welcome humans into his presence is awesome. He invites us, the God of the Bible. Next time somebody that you don't know ignorantly, some non-Christian that you don't know takes a swing at your God, don't get upset. Just remind them, hey, you know what the Bible says? God says at an acceptable time, he's inviting you to come in with him. You want to go do that? You want to pray, friend? You want to go talk with God? Invite them. Why? Because God's inviting them. In an acceptable time, a welcoming time, he's announcing, I have helped you. And in the day, look, he says, in the day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Whenever the gospel goes out that Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the grave for our sins, when that goes out, that's God's invitation. It's supernatural. It seems like it's natural. We're talking about it. Seems so natural. But what's being said is supernatural. And God promises to bless his word that when it goes out, it affects people. And when somebody invites you to know Christ, when somebody invites you to come to church, listen, if you attend this church and somebody, or if somebody attends this church and invited you tonight, they didn't invite you, you should know this, they didn't invite you for you to become a member of this church. They invited you because they love you enough to get all uncomfortable. You know, your Christian friend is amazing. It took a lot for them to invite you to listen or to come, you know? But why would they do that to you? Oh, to abuse me. No, they want you to be in heaven with them too. They want you to know what it is to have hope. They want you to know that Jesus is perfect. We're not. But his love is absolutely incredibly restorative. And he fixes lives. And that's why that friend of yours invited you to church. And it's a big deal. It's not easy to invite somebody to church. It's terrifying sometimes. Because you so often hear people say, I'm not going to go. No, don't ask me. But you got to do it. You got to invite them. And then look at this. All of a sudden, the one who restores, listen to this. This is quite interesting. And the day of vengeance of our God. Now, as you guys know, that at that comma back there, that comma has endured for 2,000 years. The next event by the hand of God, church, listen, I say this by the authority of God's word. According to Isaiah chapter 61, that when the opportunity of welcoming is expired, and that is only known to the mind of God, the very next thing takes place. The comma drops, and the next part of that sentence is fulfilled. Church, the next thing that's going to happen according to the world, not the church, the world is this. It's going to be the day of the vengeance of our God. The Bible says this. For the church, we're looking for the rapture. For the world, it's the day of God's vengeance. That's what's next. Think of it. We have the hope as a church. We have the hope of revival. We have the hope of the Holy Spirit being poured out. But listen, of course, we have the hope of the Lord taking the church up at any time. It's all good for us, church. It's all good for us. But if you're not a Christian, the very next prophetic fulfillment for the world is the vengeance of our God coming upon this earth. You say, man, that's not a good message. Listen, it's a great message if you heed it. It's very important. God wants to restore. Joel chapter 2. Oh, some of you need this verse. It's so good. Beginning at Joel chapter 2, verses 26 to 32. This is the heart of God. Why the vengeance that's coming? Well, because God's got a plan, and he's got a sunshine coming after that time of great dark vengeance. And listen to this. Joel 2, 26. It says there, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people, who is his people in the book of Joel? the Jews, shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I, the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hey, where'd you read this at, church? Sounds like the book of Acts, huh? Chapter 2. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness. Listen up, everybody, because the deception is out there again by people. Here it comes. And the moon into blood. They're saying it's going to happen again when it didn't even happen last year. They're talking about it happening again. When are they going to learn? The only time the moon is ever going to look like blood, according to the revelation of God's word, is in the day that the sun is darkened. Remember that. You can't have half of the verse. Oh, but Pastor, they're saying that the blood moon's coming again. It ain't coming. It's not coming. It's not the book of Joel yet. It's not going to happen. Well, what if it happens? Listen, if it happens, listen, then it happens. It means that there's some fire burning somewhere in the mountains or in the hills and the sky's red or a smoggy day. But notice the book of Joel says it's going to happen when Israel's receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon them. Their sons and daughters of Israel are prophesying and proclaiming. That's the context. And on that day, the sun's not going to shine. The moon's going to look like blood before what happens? Before the second coming. It's during the tribulation period. Look, it says before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. That's the second coming to earth. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, where is that? Oh, come on, where is it? Israel. And where's Jerusalem? Israel. There shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Boom, right there. Wow, Joel 2 is talking about the God who restores. And in this context, it's all about the nation of Israel, as it is Isaiah. But guess what? Isn't it interesting that Peter proclaims this book, second chapter of Joel, in the book of Acts? Peter's preaching this. Why? Because the Spirit of God is being poured out on the born-again Jews in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. When those born-again Jews turned to preach the nation rejected the gospel. God knew this. It put a pause on salvation to the nation. The Jews went out scattered by persecution to the ends of the earth, all over the Roman Empire, and then out all the way eventually to you. And the church has gone from predominantly Jewish to now, over these 2,000 years, predominantly Gentile by God's design. And when the church is done with its witness on earth, God pours his Holy Spirit out upon the remnant of Israel, the believing Jews. And then as a nation, they put forth the gospel. In other words, isn't it amazing? Are you listening? They should have done it 2,000 years ago. They didn't. But them pushing God off was an open door to us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called What Do You Know? Part 2. Thanks for being here today. And do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He's right there waiting for you to come to him. What Do You Know? Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.